Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Growing up in Davis, I've been around a bunch of teachers, coaches, and classmates that change every year. But there's one person who I have been hanging out with pretty much every month, if not more often, for the past few years. He knows things about me that most other people don't, like how often I floss, what I ate for lunch, my favorite Halloween candy, what my molars look like, how much I grew in the last 3 months. Seasons changed, but one thing remained constant until my braces came off recently: my monthly visits to Dr. Rundquist, my orthodontist. Braces are a rite of passage for many teenagers. 80% of teens in the United States are currently in an orthodontist's care, some since they are 7 years old. Over 4 million people in the US right now have braces, and a quarter of these people are adults. Surveys tell us that Americans prefer straight teeth to clear skin, and 40% of people say that they are willing to give up a dessert or vacations in exchange for a straight smile. Orthodontics goes all the way back to ancient Egypt. Archaeologists discovered some mummies with makeshift braces made from animal intestines wrapped around mummies' teeth that they thought were used to try and straighten crooked teeth. Metal braces are about 300 years old, but it was not always smiles in the land of dental hardware. Before these braces came along, people pulled out crooked teeth and wore dentures, or filed their teeth down to straighten them. French physician Pierre Fauchard came along and made the first set of braces in 1728. These early braces were just a flat piece of metal connected to teeth by thread. Then, about 200 years later, Edward Engel, a dentist in St. Louis, created brackets for braces in 1915. For those of you who like bling, back then gold was used to make braces since it bends easily. But gold braces were also pretty expensive. In 1959, NASA developed nickel titanium, which was a heat-resistant metal alloy created to build space shuttles. It also happened to be perfect for making thin, flexible wires that kept their shape after being bent and attached to teeth, our modern braces. In today's episode of Time Out Radio, we meet my orthodontist, Dr. Benton Rundquist, who is going to be retiring soon after 27 years of making an impression on Davis teens. Dr. Rundquist opens up on his career as an orthodontist and, brace yourself, on his own stint as a radio DJ in Davis. And no, he didn't play heavy metal on his show. Our place of the week is the country of France, home to Pierre Fauchard, the father of modern dentistry. Up next is Bubble by Imagine Dragons.
We just
You're listening to Time Out Radio on 95.7 KDRT. Our guest on today's episode is Dr. Benton Rundquist, who is an orthodontist here in Davis and has been my orthodontist for years. So, Dr. Rundquist, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
All right. So, first off, when did teeth begin to fascinate you? And when and why did you decide to become an orthodontist?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know when, I guess teeth really didn't fascinate me until I did a kind of an internship volunteer assisting program with a general dentist my junior year at UCLA. But growing up, I didn't go through orthodontics myself. I never had braces, but I did have a great dentist, very happy, easygoing guy. And he actually told me I needed braces or could benefit from braces, but I used to ride my bike to the dental appointment. So that information never got home to my parents. So I never, ever even had an orthodontic evaluation. So in fact, I had a bite that was very similar to yours. And maybe if I had had orthodontic treatment, I wouldn't have run into some of the problems down the road that I have. But it was my junior year that I worked for a general dentist, and I pretty much mirrored my practice after him subconsciously, I guess. I didn't set out to do that, but he had one receptionist, one assistant, and basically did all the work himself. And that's kind of how I've, as you know, that's been my practice here in Davis.
Mm-hmm. And when most people think about orthodontics, like me, you know, we think about braces as one of the first things that come to our mind. So let's talk about that. Are braces necessary or cosmetic for kids and teens?
The answer is can be obviously both. And my pat answer is orthodontics is a nice to do, but not a have to do. If you just think of the, you know, the billions of people in the world and how many actually have access to an orthodontist, it's a matter of degree. A lot of it comes down to how severe the problem is. And often if it's a severe problem, there might be a not only a tooth problem where you have crooked teeth or gap teeth or rotated teeth, but they just don't fit together very well because the jaws grew out of proportion one to the other. And those could definitely benefit from orthodontics. And sometimes in the severe cases, it's what's called an orthognathic approach where you not only need braces, but you need to have jaw surgery to actually correct the underlying problem to get things to fit together the way dentists and orthodontists would like them to fit together. But you know, if kids don't see a problem, that makes it a lot harder because then they feel it's something being done to them rather than for them. And as you know, because it was very critical in your case and it's critical in most cases, compliance is very important. And if they don't comply, if they don't want to wear rubber bands, you know, sometimes we just don't get the result that we'd like.
Mm-hmm. And how long do kids usually need to wear braces specifically for?
It goes right back to what we were just talking about, the severity of the problem and whether compliance is required and something that the patient is able to do. You were, you know, not because you have me on your show or anything, but you were one of my most highly compliant patients that I can remember, you know, and things worked out pretty well. I don't know how long I'd have to look to see how long your treatment took, but
my braces that took about like 14 months.
14 months. Well, yeah. See, now it's typically 18 to 24 months. So I don't want all your listeners to think that it's only going to take 14 months. But again, it comes down to severity of the problem and compliance on the patient's part.
And is that all that, you know, metal and the braces and everything in one's mouth like really necessary? Or are there like less visible options for braces that work as effectively?
So the teeth don't really care what's applying the force to get them to move. And these thermoplastic material, which many companies, Invisalign being the best known, can be used to move the teeth. And as long as the practitioner knows its limitations and doesn't ask too much from it, it can do as good or maybe even a better job than traditional braces, again, depending on the severity of the problem. I will say, you know, it's kind of a swing of the pendulum. When I came out of orthodontic training in 1992, I would go to lectures. Everything was trying to gear treatment towards noncompliance. So they were trying to gear all their lectures towards how to take compliance out of the equation so you could get the end result you wanted without having to ask the patient to do anything. And now we're going 180 degrees where the teeth just aren't going to move at all. You're not going to get anywhere unless it's 100% compliance by the patient. Those plastic trays have to be worn. They don't have to be worn, you know, when they want it, when the patient wants to wear them, but basically 24/7, you take them out to eat and to brush and floss.
Yeah. And are there any foods that people can't eat while wearing braces?
Well, that's another benefit of the thermoplastic trays. You can pop them out and you can eat anything you want. With bands, brackets, and wires, you got to avoid, you know, the standard, nothing hard, crunchy, sticky, or chewy. Unpopped popcorn, now and laters, Jolly Ranchers, day-old pizza crust or day-old bagels, that type of thing.
And I've heard you say during my treatment, only brush the teeth you want to keep. So how does one take care of teeth that have all those wires and brackets in them?
Well, it depends on what magazines your parents read and what advertising you're exposed to. I mean, there are a ton of gadgets out there. Water picks, water flossers, floss thread. Well, the floss threaders aren't really a gadget. That just helps you with traditional floss, which is really the gold standard. I mean, I tell parents that you can buy everything you want to help your kid do a better job at keeping things clean. But when they come in, if I still see plaque or swollen, puffy gums, I'm going to tell your daughter or son, and I'm going to tell you that it's just not getting the job done. It takes effort. And the gold standard for me really is the cheapest and most time consuming, I'll admit, but that's part of the cost of having orthodontics is the time commitment. And they even make something called a waxed dental tape. I don't know if I turned you on to that, but it's just a little bit stiffer, a little bit thicker, and a little bit easier to get under the wire that allows you to then floss a couple of teeth, but then you have to pull it out, go under the wire to the next pair of teeth, floss them. But it really gets the job done. And that's what I try to stress upon people. But, you know, in this day and age where we're so busy, time is of the essence. But a good job is better than a quick, poor job.
Mm-hmm. And do braces interfere with school activities like sports or playing an instrument?
For most part, you know, any contact sport, you don't want to be hit with a ball or an elbow while you're wearing braces. I mean, you know, if you have Invisalign trays on, well, it's probably not a big deal. Or, you know, just any clear plastic, thermoplastic tray material. But brackets, wires, they'll just go right through the inside of your lip. I've seen it. It's no fun. So yeah, you gotta wear a mouth guard, and people will complain. I mean, mouth guards for contact sports, whether or not you have braces, are important. It's a small price to pay to protect your teeth and your comfort. So, and as far as musical instruments, I've had some trumpet players complain that, you know, pressing that trumpet against their lips to, you know, maybe hit a high C or whatever note they're trying to get out of the trumpet is uncomfortable. But over time, things toughen up, even on the inside of your mouth. And if that doesn't work, there are guards that can go over the brackets and the wires to add a layer of protection and comfort. But that's typically not necessary.
And I got my braces off this past May and now wearing a retainer. So for those who, after braces, you know, have to wear a retainer, do they have to wear it all their life? And what happens if they forget to wear it?
We don't want to find out what happens if they forget to wear it. That's the million-dollar question. I mean, we put the teeth into what we hope is going to be a nice, stable environment, a better alignment. But as you know, I ask all my patients to wear their retainers full time for the first 6 months after the braces come off. And then we gradually, in my office, tell patients we're going to taper back to indefinite, which means, i.e. forever, nighttime wear. Now, is that overkill? In some cases, yes, but I can't predict which of those cases any one individual falls into. So I'd rather be safe than sorry. I mean, I have patients that come in that are kind of wavering. Do they really want to make an improvement? They're kind of happy with how their teeth are. They're not perfect. And I tell those patients, you would benefit from a retainer if you opt not to have treatment, because as just the aging process, teeth tend to shift and move. And if you were happy at age 20 with a mild amount of crowding, and at age 30, it's much more severe, you probably would have wished that you had actually taken my advice and, you know, worn a retainer at night to keep them where they were when you were 20. So yes, don't lose your retainers. If you do, let me know.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you and your staff do around Halloween is that you buy candy back from kids. So tell us what happens to all that candy. I'll let you explain.
Well, I've put on about 30 pounds each December and January. No, there are a lot of great military support groups in this area, you know, with Travis not being too far away and Navy moms. And each year, one of these groups will take my candy and send it off to troops serving overseas. And they tell me that instead of using that plastic popcorn packing material, they just use all that little Halloween candy and they just jam it in there to fit around the books and magazines and DVDs and whatever else they're sending to the troops overseas. So I highly applaud that, having, you know, been in the military myself. In fact, getting back to your first question, well, how did I get into orthodontics? I mean, I came out of UCLA enjoying dentistry and went to dental school, and I did general dentistry for about 5 years with the Air Force. And then it dawned on me that a lot of patients don't like going to the dentist. They don't like having their teeth worked on. They don't like having shots. And I looked over at the orthodontists in the clinic, and they seemed to be having a lot more fun. So I decided that's for me. And that's how I ended up applying for specialty training after, you know, doing general dentistry for a few years.
And in your office, I've seen many times an outdoor elliptical stand-up bike parked in the clinic, and says that you've rode it thousands of miles all around the country. So I wanted to ask, where is the craziest place that you've ridden that bike?
Well, no real crazy places. You're kind of limited. I mean, this company, Elliptigo, they make a stand-up bike, an elliptical bike, which is what you've seen in my office, although I do also have the stand-up bike, which is more 27-inch standard road bike, very similar to a 10-speed, except there's no seat. So you're standing up and supposedly expending about 30% more energy to get the ride accomplished than a standard bike. But I would say I was kind of crazy. In May of last year, I don't know if you're familiar with May is Bike Month. I mean, every day is bike day here in Davis, being the bike capital of the world, I guess I could say. But I decided to really go for it. The year before, in May of 2020, during the pandemic, I decided to stop eating cinnamon rolls and maybe get some exercise, you know, when everything was shut down and I wasn't working. And May rolled around and I rode about 1,800 miles. And then last May, I rode 2,404. Now, if there were 30 days in May, that would be a little over 80 miles a day.
Yeah.
And if you're going 15 miles an hour, which I don't, because I stop and take pictures and, you know, have breaks and stuff. But that's like 5 hours a day of riding. Wow. So since there's 31 days in May, that was a little less than 80 miles a day. But still, the time commitment was immense. And then another crazy thing I did was, my brother came to UC Davis, and his roommate was a cyclist, and it got him motivated to do the double century, which he did every year he was here at UC Davis from 77 to 81. And this year I actually did that on the elliptical bike, which, you know, it's not earth-shaking news. Other people have done 200 miles or farther, but it's a heavy bike. And I was out there for, you know, over 17 hours. That was crazy. And then I guess the last crazy thing I did was just a couple of weeks ago, with not enough water on a very hot day, I tried to ride up Mix Canyon, branches off of Pleasance Valley Road, which runs from Vacaville up to Berryessa or towards Winters. And it is one of the 8 steepest inclines in, I don't know if it's the lower 48 or just in California, but it just keeps getting steeper and steeper and steeper. And I will admit, you know, I did make it to the top, but I had to walk probably the last half mile. I wasn't going to not make it to the top, but I just didn't have it in me. So I'd say those are 3 crazy things. Too many miles in 1 month, too many miles in 1 day. And actually last year, for the year 2021, I rode 21,212 miles. So that averaged out to about 57 miles a day for the 355 days that I rode.
Wow. And you used to be a radio DJ too, and used to host a radio show called BJ's Big Bag of Blues on KDVS until just a couple years ago. So tell us a little bit about your show.
All right. Yes. In 95, when we moved here and I was running with the Golden Valley Harriers, which is a local running club, they had a 10-mile run. And after the 10-mile run, you know, we'd go to, I think it was Green Planet Juicery at the time. And then I'd browse through Newsbeat. And they were listening to Mario's Blues Thing on Saturday morning. And I really enjoyed the show. And my wife and her sister, during the pledge drive for KDVS, bought me a one-hour program your own show. And I sat in with Mario. And for the longest time, probably for about 20 or 20 plus years, I hosted my own show, BJ's Big Bag of Blues. And then COVID hit. And I unfortunately came down with a form of leukemia, non-Hodgkin's type. And I'm in wait and watch, so I don't have any chemotherapy, but my oncologist told me that I have no immune system, so I'm very leery of enclosed places. I haven't really done that since the pandemic.
And you're going to be retiring soon after 27 years of bringing smiles to Davis. So what are your retirement plans?
Well, I hope this COVID and all its variants finally go by the wayside, and I might be wishful thinking, or that I have some miraculous turnaround and get an immune system back. But I'd really love to get back down to KDVS, or you know, I'm a big fan of DJ Dirk's Twang Thang on K-Dirt.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, well, if I can't get back on KDVS, maybe I'd do a blues or perhaps even a rockabilly show at K-Dirt, you know, and then the standard retiree stuff, you know, volunteer and maybe work at the Mary Stevens, the Davis Public Library, help out with their book sales. I love going to book sales. And that would be a big interest. And of course, I want to keep writing. And my latest thing is I used to have this very simplistic view of nutrition, that if you exercise enough, you could basically eat whatever you want. Well, somebody turned me on to a book by Michael Greger, a physician, called How Not to Die. And it just opened my eyes. And I would highly recommend, maybe you have someone that could talk about what the standard American diet is and how horrible it is and how we just don't eat enough whole foods, plant-based, highly nutritious, low-calorie type foods. So just basically staying healthy, staying active, staying happy, and helping out the community.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rundquist, for joining me on Time Out Radio today. Congrats on a great career in orthodontics and enjoy your upcoming retirement.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rohan, and the best of luck to you. Enjoy your junior year, get through it, and keep doing what you're doing.
All right. That's Dr. Rundquist, who's been an orthodontist here in Davis for 27 years. That magic wish we bottled it up. I'm afraid of you. Think of the day, we'll get the memories. I'm afraid of you, lady. I wonder if that's how you felt when she was off drugs. Before you moved to Venus, left her friends upon. Chasing higher grades, it's a love a little hard to live another place. You probably would have done it anyway. Probably would have done it either way. So you can take away the internet or all the phones, make a better friends or leave her alone. But even if you gave the girl another name, probably would have happened anyway.
That was Magazine by Blake Rose. In today's travel segment, we visit the country of France, home to 68 million people. I specified the country of France because there are 8 places in the world named France. 3 of them are in Portugal, 2 in the US, in Florida and Idaho, 1 in Mozambique, 1 in France, and 1 in Côte d'Ivoire. The country of France is an important agricultural producer in Europe. Its capital is Paris, known as the City of Light. Its national motto translates to liberty, equality, and fraternity. Its official language is French, which also is the official language of 29 countries in the world, including Canada. In fact, French was once the official language of England from 1066 to 1362, after the Norman conquest. France is one of the most visited countries in the world. The Louvre Museum in Paris is the largest art museum in the world and is where you can find the Mona Lisa. It has so many pieces of art that if you just spend 30 seconds looking at each one, it would take you about 100 days to get through the whole museum. France is a great place to visit if you love cheese. They make over 1,500 different types of cheese there. And in other food news, people in France eat about 25,000 tons of snails each year. That comes to about 500 snails that are eaten per person there. Supermarkets in France are not allowed to throw away food that's past the best buy date, according to a law passed in 2016. They have to donate the food to a charity or food bank to help reduce hunger and food waste. That's 45,000 pounds of food that's donated each year in the country that could have ended up in the trash. And in sports facts, the cycling race Tour de France is more than 100 years old and was started in 1903. It lasts 23 days and covers more than 2,000 miles. France packs all this punch and personality in a geographic area that is slightly smaller than the state of Texas. Even though France is not a large country, it is actually twice as large as the United Kingdom and 8 times the size of Ireland. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, the country of France. Alright, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Cater 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.